This is Bruin News with Miranda Wilfers. This week is forecasting for Brookings Harbor High School students, which means that students can log into their PowerSchool portal to sign up for and request classes for the 2017-18 school year. If there's a class you want to take, now's the time to get your name in there. Student body elections are coming up soon, so all students can get ready to cast their votes for the people they think should represent their class. The junior-senior prom is this month. Remember to make it to class on time, because if you have 10 or more absences, you will not be able to attend. This is Bruin News with Miranda Wolfers, and I am here with local photographer Kat Wiles. Recently, you were on a photography project. What was that?
We took pictures of places or things for our theme of abusing drugs and alcohol and things that could prevent it or where it's happening.
What were some of those things and places you took pictures of?
I took pictures of the beach, my pets, some psychedelics such as mushrooms, and the movie theater, the old bowling alley, and one of the teachers here, Miss Pruden. I took pictures of her garden, because gardening always helps.
How did you feel about this project?
Well, there's the up and downs, and then having them try and tell me I needed to take pictures of churches or religious beings or things like that. I'm not a religious person. I don't really believe in very many things in the religious category. So when they tried to tell me I needed to take those pictures when other people in the group could do that, it caused some drama.
But overall, you enjoyed the project?
Yes, I did enjoy it. It was a little challenging, but it was definitely something I would do again.
What is your next project?
My next project is going to be something I do at home. I currently just made a gas mask in art at the school, but I'm going to be making one of the old-fashioned dog gas masks for my dog.
That's pretty cool. What is the dog gas mask? How does that work?
Dog gas masks, like the human ones, they fit to the face, right? Well, the dog ones are more fabricated because they have a different facial structure, having the snout, and they have circular eyes because their eyes are more towards the side of their head. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to get some harder fabric material and cut the holes out and then build something with cans or something. And then to the snout part to filter the air part, there's no tube. It's just this circular metal piece with a filter through it.
Do you have any advice for other young aspiring photographers in the community?
You don't want to just take pictures of, like, random things, honestly, because when you just start to take pictures of the random things that you see or think are just cool, you'll start doing that instead of actually doing photography. Usually what you want to do with photography is take pictures of something that's meaningful to you. Because when it's meaningful to you, you get the best shot that you possibly can. And, like, compared to something that just seems cool to you, you don't take a very good quality picture most of the time. Don't stick to one place or one theme when it comes to photography. Make your theme become every possible thing you can think of, or every possible thing you could make have a meaning to it. Even if it's not meaningful to you, you can make it meaningful to someone else.
All right, thank you so much for coming.
No problem.
I am also here with Ethan Warner, the electronics captain for the local robotics team 4110, also known as Deep Space Niners. They did excellently at the first robotics competition. Could you tell us about that?
We came in second at our competition at the Clackamas Academy of Industrial Arts. We competed in our first 12 matches, we were ranked ninth, and then we were picked in an alliance at the top with the top eight teams, because you have alliances of three, and we went up and we went head to head with all these other top eight teams. We got all the way to the end to where we're the first alliance, the second alliance. We unfortunately lost that match, and we took second in that competition.
All right. What are some of the tasks your robot was supposed to do?
The tasks you have to do at the competition is your bot has to put a gear on a peg, or it can put shoot balls in a high goal, or it can put them in a low goal. There's also the task of autonomous, which is non-controlled by humans. The robot's just pre-programmed to do whatever it does.
Can you tell us a little more about the robot?
Okay, so our robot is kind of complex, but it mainly had a drive. It has a basic drive system of 8 wheels. So we have 3 wheels on each side that drive it forward, and then we have 2 wheels in the middle that pull it side to side. We use special wheels called Omni wheels, which can go any direction. So if you want to go side, you use these back wheels that pull it to the side, back and forth, or it can go forwards and back. And also it's a tank drive system too with that, so you can do pretty tight turns and things.
All right.
We also have a jaw on the front that opens and closes to help put the gear on the peg that can be put on, and then we pull away. Or so he pulls the gear out and then we pull away.
What are some things that you did?
Okay, so the things that the competition I did was I fixed anything that went wrong with the robot. That was electrical, of course. I also was on the drive team, so I was responsible for putting gears down a chute that would fall into our robot that we would go place on the tower.
Does your robot have a name?
We were calling it the Crooked Croc, I think, because our chassis isn't completely straight, so it kind of drifts off to the side a little bit when we're driving at full speed, so we kind of have to adjust for that. And it looks like a crocodile in the front with our gear opener. It makes a loud snapping noise, too.
Is that crooked chassis a tactical decision, or is it accidental?
It's accidental. We actually wound up cutting a piece too short, so we just kind of scrunched it down in the last minute, and we didn't realize it, so shame on us, but oh well.
Does your team have any enemies?
No, not really. We're usually pretty liked. Most teams don't really have enemies that really bother each other.
Is there somewhere that the public can come to view this robot or your current project, future projects, past projects?
On YouTube, you could search for our local team, Team 4110, at the Calacamas Academy. That would be a way to bring it up. Or you could type in Team 4110 Brookings, Oregon, FRC competitions, and you'd see all of our past robots and all the competitions we've done.
And what's next for your team?
So we didn't get qualified to go to the next stage in the robotics, unfortunately. But what our next competition, or what our next thing is we're doing, we're building an electric car for the Maker Faire show in San Francisco. And we're going to race it. It's called Power Wheels.
Haven't you done very well in past Maker Faire competitions?
We have. Last year, I believe we got second. We hope we do really well this year. We have some new things, and we're redoing our frame for our car, so we should do very well this year.
All right. Do you have any tips for young, aspiring robot lovers out there?
If you like robots, I'd recommend learning as much as you can about the technologies in them and trying to get into a first type thing. So there's first Lego, there's first tech, and there's first robotics. All those things have an age requirement, and they're kind of, you step up. So first Lego, you make Lego things with NZXTs, and then first tech is a little more dumbed down version of FRC. The tasks are a little bit more basic and the robots are smaller, and then FRC is full blown big robots and more complicated tasks.
Thank you, Ethan Warner, for coming and talking about your robot.
All right, no problem. Thank you for having me.
We're here with the Brookings Harbor School District Athletic and Activities Director, Buell Gonzalez Jr. Tell us about some upcoming events.
We have our big track meet this Saturday, which is the Brookings Rotary Meet. Interesting enough, it is the largest track meet in the state of Oregon on that day, the highest number of participants. So that includes all high schools. So that's it's going to be huge. That's this Saturday, starts at 10. Monday, we are hosting the Salmon Run Golf Course, our golf tournament at Salmon Run Golf Course. We have 10 teams, I think, coming to that, boys and girls, JV and varsity. Tuesday, our varsity softball team and JV baseball team will be traveling to Douglas. Game times at 5 o'clock. We will not have enough umpires to host Douglas and baseball on Tuesday, so that game will be Wednesday. Douglas canceled their JV softball season, so there will be no JV softball this week. We have game series' first opponents. So the team that we play this week will be Douglas, and since they don't have JV softball, then we don't have any JV softball games. So track, Saturday is at the Prefontaine Memorial Meet, which is a huge meet on Saturday that takes place at Coos Bay High School, of course, in Eugene, where Steve Prefontaine graduated from. He's one of the greatest high school track athletes ever. A little FYI.
Is there any upcoming club news that we've got?
The Coffee Cave is up and running and has been for a couple weeks. I know Mr. Merritt's put a lot of time and effort and energy into that and has a couple kids with that. The Coffee Cave is a club activity that is run by Mr. Merritt where they sell coffee in the morning to students and faculty.
Thank you so much for coming, Mr. Gonzalez.
You bet.
Poetry Month is off to an excellent start in the Brookings Harbor High School Library. There are poems scattered about the shelves, and students have been making book spine poetry, and there are student poems also posted through hallways to be taken and read. Afternoon by Miranda Wolfers. The loud, almost overwhelming rumble of many voices echoing through the hall, the delicate wisps of breath visible in the cold air, surprised at the hand placed on a shoulder and the gentle feather stroke of a kiss on the opposite cheek. The dull rumble of cars and the tap, tap, tap of raindrops on the window shield, providing backdrop for the old songs on the radio. A twist in the gut at the prospect of change, a mixture of anxiety and excitement. A sigh of relief at removing coat and shoes upon returning home. A hand placed upon glass, longing for something unknown to the owner, and the foggy palm outline after the hand is removed from ice-like surface. A small smile quirking the mouth at the thought of friends, the clicking of letters on a keyboard, worlds made of 26 figures and a brain, calm after a day of boring chaos, a tiny fraction of life summed up in a word, afternoon.
M Poem by Miranda Wolfers. Make a little story, move a few hearts, meddle in some lives, mince the soul apart. Minute by minute, mile by mile, mark your skin, manage a smile. Memories of times gone by, my how time just seems to fly. Moods and emotions beginning to end, malcontent, but on the mend.
Bruin News now brings you some never-before-aired, powerful poetry content recorded in Dr. Michelle Mitchell Faust's classroom in honor of National Poetry Month. These recordings took place right in a high school classroom and include some background noise, learning, and kids having fun with poetry. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Brianna App, and we are doing Powerful Poetry with
Josie Vitale,
and we have Chadwick with us.
You forgot my first name, didn't
Travis
you?
Travis Chadwick. There we go.
Are you happy now?
Dude, everybody's so crazy with pseudonyms nowadays. Just going by last name. Dude, J.K. Rowling. That's a pen name, I know. I don't know a real name, but I know it's a ridiculous pen name. I mean.
Agreed.
Yep.
So he has a poem that he's going to be reading for us, and the title is?
Baby Bird.
Baby Bird. Well, read on.
Baby Bird. You must have been an angel that tripped and fell from heaven, because I could feel your grace as you plummeted through the lower kingdom of clouds, so I tinged the earth with my energy and curiosity, and I went to investigate the massive sound that distorted my mind into sudden fear and the shockwave that spread the animals further into their forest. I found you bruised from the fall, with wings of white, peppered with stains of dirt, and with feathers drooping to the ground. Your clumsiness brought you to me, and I would be the one to nurse you, merely a baby bird, back to health. I took your broken wings and made them into quills for you to spin your tails and weave them into masterpieces of seeming fiction that captivated young minds who hungered for something bigger. You took to this azure sky like a bird shooting away from the nest in light speed. You flew without your wings and left me on the ground looking after you as you soared back to the heavens you fell from. End scene.
That was a very nice poem. Thank you, Travis.
Oh, no problem.
And we're here again with Travis, and he has poems for us.
I do have poems, but I hear you have questions first.
Yes, Brianna has questions.
Are your poems actually a portal to what's going on in your mind?
Well, I'd say so. I mean, I write poems because I'm either feeling really anxious, really psychotic, yeah? So, for instance, there's a poem I wrote while you guys were interviewing Avi, because I'm professional like that and I needed a poem to read. And then I started, you know, feeling it. I'm just like, oh, it's coming. I can feel it. Because I get kind of manic sometimes. So I wrote out just kind of what was going on in my mind, imagery and such. So that's kind of what I do every day. I mean, I have Us Militant Freak Shows right here. and I read that last time, I believe. And that was just because I was angry with the red carpet show. But yeah, I would say yeah.
How do your parents feel about you writing poetry?
What parents?
Oh.
I'm kidding.
There's the deep question.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, don't worry. I had that question already.
But yeah, my parents, I don't really show my parents any of my poetry because it gets kind of violent sometimes and kind of awkward. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, they know I write poetry for the most part. They just don't read it.
Is there any poems that are kind of like not appropriate for this that you've written?
I'm going to have to think about that. I don't know. I don't really think about what's considered appropriate or not.
Conclusion, there is.
Yeah, there is.
There is.
I guess. there was one I wrote about. I had just read, I think, a poem out of Monsterverse. I can't remember the name. But, yeah, it inspired me. I'm just like, I'm going to write my own monster poem. So I wrote Red Wolf, which I then scrapped because it was crap. Hey, I made a poem right there. So... then I wrote one about a succubus, which I might read today. It's in my notebook if it's still there. I mean, yeah, I think succubus is a little risque, but let's see.
I'm pretty sure mostly adults are going to be reading or listening to our poetry because they're, I think some older people are more interested in than the younger.
Oh, I'd say so. Yeah. Most of us can't even pull ourselves away from the TV screen or phone long enough to really pay attention.
Agreed.
That is true.
It'll be good to hear a young voice on the radio, and the old coots will be like, oh, a young man doing poetry.
Yeah, I mean, we all have thoughts, man. I mean, we just got to write them down sometimes, and they can be considered poetry. That's why I love Howard Stern. He didn't really have any censorship, except, you ever seen Private Parts? No, I mean the movie Private Parts.
Thank you.
I want to leave that in. That was good.
Okay.
You guys need to be off your phone.
Yeah, Private Parts was a Howard Stern biopic from... Howard Stern did this movie called Private Parts. And basically, it's funny because the cover is of him, like, naked, standing in front of the Empire State Building. And the Empire State Building is supposed to be his wang, you know?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, it's really funny. I love it. You ought to watch it. It's on Netflix.
I'm going to
wait,
watch
can I
it
say
now.
That on community radio? Copyright and all? Is that... okay, sweet.
Go Netflix. The
start your free start your free month trial now. Red Wolf is... Red Wolf was very gory.
Was, because it's scrapped.
Yeah, it's scrapped. It's scrapped because it's crap. Because I don't really rap.
That was a good poem.
Thank you. That was a Frankenstein haiku.
Nice.
Anyway, so what was your question again?
I had another one. do you think we should, in school, do more like this stuff instead of focusing on the topic that we have to focus on?
Like radio or poetry?
Both.
I don't know. Radio seems like a very good outlet for some people. It's been a good outlet for me. I mean... I came in here feeling kind of manic, you know, and I'm kind of relaxed. I like talking about myself, like, a lot. I'm very selfish and kind of egocentrical, but that's just me. But poetry? Poetry, yeah, I guess for some people. I mean, poetry, I can admit, is awful sometimes. I can tell you that the poetry I find on Wattpad.com is, oh my God, so much blood and razors and angst. It's awful. Nobody really has anything important to say anymore. Because
yeah.
We all say it on Facebook.
Agreed.
Agreed. And then we start fights on Facebook.
Yeah, and fights on Facebook about Trump. Yeah.
And then we get family members thinking there's something wrong with us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you offer a piece of imagery that's kind of sadistic that you mean in kind of almost an ironic, parodic way, you know?
You don't take it that
people
way.
Kind of take it. People take it way too seriously. I mean, we're in an age where parents care more about the kid's mind than body nowadays,
yes,
you know?
Yes, like, if somebody were to write a poem and post it on Facebook, most likely they'd get a phone call saying, are you all right? We saw something that you posted.
Are you all right? You just talked about, you know, shooting yourself in the face because the world was so stupid.
Agreed. I kind of did that once, and that
it
was an unpleasant ride
well.
Home.
I think the last Facebook post I ever posted, which was like 2 years ago, it was It was part of a poem. It was kind of a parody. I think the last line went something like, screw you all. Screw is a censor word. I'm done. You can all suck my waterfall. And that's how much I cared about Facebook at the time.
Oh, boy.
I deactivated the account. It was awesome.
And then Facebook, and then now Facebook's blowing up through everything. Oh, my God. Like, people spend more time communicating on phones, and I know I do this, but they text each other while they're sitting right across from each other.
Yeah, yeah. I don't get that either.
I've done that a few times, and my mother has yelled at me for it.
I don't stand for it.
I've only done that when I'm not allowed to talk to the person.
Mm, yeah.
Like, if we're watching a movie and neither of us want to watch it, we just text each other.
I usually talk during movies anyway, because most movies have flaws, and I like to exploit those flaws into comedy.
Yep.
And again, doesn't ever like to exploit things in a comedy most of the time.
Definitely. Agreed.
So you guys want me to read some poems?
Sure, why not? Sounds good to me. You have 5 minutes.
Yeah. All right.
Actually, you have as much time as you need. Josie can go.
Yeah.
All right, this one's one of the ones I wrote while I was sitting, like, over there, like, to the left. None of you listeners can see it, but I'm pointing due east, I think, right now.
I'm not
sure. I don't have the compass rose with me.
It's probably an app on your phone.
This one's called both of these. Yeah, northwest. I'm pointing due northwest. There,
not
that
east,
way.
Northwest. Got this.
Anywho, this one doesn't have a title, so I'm just going to call it Poem of the Week number 1.
Works.
Okay, so Poem of the Week number 1. Aspic is an ocean inside my melancholic mind, destruction and paradox dancing in perfect rhyme. In caverns and foxholes I sling my wicked web, but in altered dimensions my eyes are ridden like sleds across the planar and stellar scars of the distant and leveled stars. My body's been terraformed for the invaders outside, my consciousness forlorn, staring up through the sky. Don't stand too close to me, I'm too fed up, I'm annoyed, I'm anxious and angry because you all won't shut up. Please, my invaders, cease your bickering. Why, when I complain, are you always snickering? I feel your presence in the crevices of my migraine. The earth is shaking and quaking. The cars are out of their lanes. My God, my word, it's all the single herd. They're ugly, they're disgusting, and constantly lusting. End scene.
So, obviously, you can write poems pretty quickly. How, on average, does it take you to actually write a poem?
It depends on how I feel for the day. I wrote a poem that took about 2 years, and then I scrapped it because I hated the idea at first.
Nice.
Actually, what happened is, okay, so this was when I was in my angsty poet years. We all have those, you know. So what happens is, it takes me 2 years to write this poem. I'm like, all right, this will be like a continual project thing. Okay, I can do that. So I spend day after day just adding little tidbits, erasing little tidbits, and then 2 years later, almost to the day, I'm just like, the fuck was I thinking? Why am I writing this? Is this okay? Shoot me, please. God. Then I burned it. No joke, just burned it.
I think I would if I had to think of that.
Student poet Linda Horton from our previous Powerful Poetry episodes returns with 2 more poems of her own original work.
Death. Death is a shallow subject. Death is a very sobering one, too, especially when you lose a loved one. Don't think that you'll live forever. Don't take advantage of the special moments. Death is a sad subject. Death is a serious subject. Live every chance you got. Love the life you live. Don't forget the ones that love you. Be with your friends. Be with your family. Hold the ones that you love tightly. Don't be depressed. There are good times, too. Death is a motivating subject. Death.
That was very good, Linda.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Yeah.
Did that feel good reading it more slowly like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it easier to breathe too?
Yes.
So what is the title of your next poem?
Graves. It's a tribute to my younger years when I was living with my first foster home. Being how I usually am, tomboyish kinda. Graves. Graves are eerie. Graves are really scary. What do emo people talk about them? Do they think it's fun? Okay, sometimes it's fun to talk about them. It's fun to tell ghost stories. especially when it calls for it. Graves get people talking. Graves.
Excellent. Thank you. Can you give me your full name and the mic?
I am Carmen Elena Esteban Julio Ricardio Montoya de la Rosa Ramirez Ryan.
And what's the title of the poem that you're reading? The poem.
What's the name of our poem?
It's All Ogre Now.
It's called It's All Ogre Now.
It's All Ogre Now.
It's All Ogre Shrek. Now.
I'm tired.
Not.
It's
kind of
yeah.
Just a little bit.
Oh boy.
Tell me, Shrek is love, Shrek is life, or else I will murder.
Oh, it doesn't seem.
Now we are joined with Carmen, and she will be reading us a poem. What is the name of your poem?
This is called "It's All Ogre Now."
Okay, that is a nice name. So you can start reading whenever you want, Carmen.
Yeah. In the beach of life, we are all pieces of driftwood, waiting to be pulled away by an emerald sea, away from the sand into the waves where we are meant to be. I'm sorry, we have to start. I can't do it. I can't do it. Okay.
All right. Get it all out.
Okay.
Get it
all right. We got to start again.
Get it all out.
In my big green belly, and that's when I knew I was cereal. An insignificant speck in a vast universe. Not even Horton could hear you as you scream for a savior, only to feel waves crashing around you mercilessly. My cereal boat was barely floating. I then see the spoon
This?
What?
I'm having a hard time.
Okay, let's get ready.
She's just thinking of Travis again.
You want to start from the beginning, Carmen?
Oh no, I'm just good at the spoon line.
I think he'd edit it out.
Okay.
Pretty sure he'd edit it out.
And okay. 3, 2.
I then see the spoon swoop in, and I anticipate the oncoming agony. As I feel it penetrate me, I try to scream, but it's too late. There's no point in fighting your predetermined fate. Sometimes you just have to accept that you're cereal. The spoon raises to their mouth. I am ready. I embrace the empty void and close my eyes. It's all ogre now.
And we are here with Tyler Smith, and he's going to be reading a poem from one of Dr. Faust's book, Dead and Undead.
I'm reading Ghost by Harold Pinter. I felt soft fingers at my throat. It seemed someone was strangling me. The lips were hard as they were sweet. It seemed someone was kissing me. My vital bones about to crack, I gaped into another's eyes. I saw it was a face I knew, a face as sweet as it was grim. It did not smile. It did not weep. Its eyes were wide and white its skin. It did not smile, it did not weep. I raised my hand and touched its cheek.
Why did you choose this poem?
So I could get points. Extra credit.
That's a good choice to choose a poem.
And very good short. Idea.
Eh. You gotta read something short.
Short's good.
And that's it for this week's Bruin News.